Fred Rogan and Jason Smith on AM 570 LA Sports. Good call, bad call coming up at the bottom of the hour. But what a thrill it is to have an in-studio guest. Vic is also hanging out.
Come on.
Played for the Lakers. You know him. We love him. Matt Barnes is here today. Matt, thanks for hanging out.
Oh, man. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, listen. So ESPN just came out with power rankings, okay, for the upcoming season. They've got the Lakers at 9. They have them missing the playoffs. I think that's crazy. What do you think?
I think it's crazy. I think they'll be a top 5, maybe 4 in the West. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time to get their chemistry. But all the pieces they've added, LeBron at the helm of the ship, Rondo, what Magic and Rob has done have been amazing. But I definitely think they're top 5 in the West, and that's saying a lot because the West is a lot stronger than the East.
See, no, I have an idea for a reality show for you. Ready for this? Okay, it's the non-LeBron Lakers reality show. You're the host.
Okay.
And you travel around with Rondo, Lonzo, and Michael Beasley and Lance Stevenson, and you just take video.
I believe it. It'll be a show.
And that's you guys just talking about anything.
That'll be a good show. I think, you know, I think the Lakers are smart from a standpoint. They took a lot of guys that maybe have questionable characters, but at some point in their career, in a solid situation, in a good surrounding, they thrived. You know, JaVale was whatever, and he got to the Warriors and played his part and won a championship. I played with Lance. I heard a lot of things about him when we got with us. He was amazing. Michael Beasley is a special talent. I think with LeBron and him back together, that he'll do well. Rondo is arguably one of the most savvy, knowledgeable point guards in history. And the fact that Magic is running the ship, they have a bunch of amazing young talent. I'm really excited about see what the Lakers are going to do.
Matt, let's face it. It seems like the Lakers have put together a squad almost in your image. What got you through an amazing career of one-year contracts, mm-hmm. chip on your shoulder, mm-hmm. playing guys tough in your face, no fear.
No fear. That's the key. You know, and then experience, too. You know what I mean? The one thing the Lakers had lacked in the past, they were a very exciting young team, but they didn't have an experience. So a talent only gets you so far. Once you get to the playoffs, you need that experience, and that's what the Lakers brought in.
You know, Matt, it's funny. You're the kind of guy that we loved you when you're on our
and
team.
And then you have to hate me when I'm not.
I mean, you really hate me.
You have to. It was funny, too. I had to explain to my kids like that because they got a chance to start traveling me at the end of my career, and they didn't understand like why people would boo Daddy. Like, Daddy, they don't like you? And I had to explain to them, like, they love wrestling. So I'm just like, I'm kind of like the Undertaker. I do my job so people don't like me. So I'm like the guy in all black. They're going to boo me. But if I'm on their team, they're really going to like me. So every time I play against a superstar, it's like the superstar is Hulk Hogan and Daddy is the Undertaker. And then they kind of got it like, oh, so they do like you. They just don't like you against their team. And I'm like, exactly.
Wow. Using the Undertaker
that's
analogy.
Right. Well, yeah, I
dig that.
Analogy, right?
Yeah. Okay. So who was Kane? Who was, no. you know, one thing that Fred mentioned, or Vic asked you in your answers about, you know, the Lakers, the last couple of years, they've been young, but they've gotten that soft tag.
Mm-hmm.
So how much of it was, hey, you know what? We need to make sure we bring in toughness mm-hmm. because that's something that we need to service all the way through.
I think now more days it's more mental toughness than physical toughness because I think the game has changed so much. Like the days of myself and Ron Artest and Tony Allen and even back further to, you know, the Pistons and all those guys, like the NBA has transitioned from that, and I understand because they realize now scoring is making the game more global, more alley-oops, the more three-pointy hit, the wider fan base you reach. So now I think it's more mental toughness and like Vic touched on, not being afraid of the big moments. And as a youngster, sometimes you're not ready for that. But I think as a vet and the guys they've brought in who have played and been in wars, that's something that they're going to definitely help the younger players with.
Matt, so many magical moments in your career on the court in terms of, you know, getting under some guy's skin. Kobe Bryant, the flinching of the and the inbounds pass
but
when you put the
flinching.
Ball and the not flinch. What was that about and what was the repercussions?
Man, we were just going at it that game. You know, that was a touchy. That was towards the end of the season. We were both, I think, we were tops in the East. I think they were tops in the West.
Right.
And it was just, you know, playoff intensity. And it was something where, you know, he was doing his Kobe stuff where he was elbowing and talking trash and grabbing and pinching and doing all kinds of stuff. It got heated. So that it particular situation, it wasn't planned. It just happened. You know what I mean? If you watch the film, like I'm looking at the play behind him transpire, but I just happened to fake the ball in his face and it came like as close as I am to the microphone and he didn't even blink, which I loved after the fact because I didn't realize at the time. But, you know, shortly after that, you know, they went on to win a championship. We lost to Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. Lakers beat Boston. And in free agency, Kobe hit me up himself like, hey, you know, you want to be a Laker? And I'm like, Hell yeah, I've always been a Laker fan, and he said anyone who's crazy enough to F with me is crazy enough to play with me. So
that's how that happened.
It was cool.
Hey, they asked you, obviously there was that fun rumor after Shaq said, oh, Kobe's coming back, write it down. And then Vanessa Bryant had to say, listen, it's just a joke.
Yeah, mama shut it down. Huh?
Yeah. But you said, hey, Kobe coming out of retirement to play with LeBron would be awesome. I mean, Kobe's been away from the game for a couple years. He's not the slim Mamba that he used to be. But, do you think he could still come out and play a little bit, get up? What do you think it would be for him?
I don't think, I thought it would be cool if he did it. But, thinking basketball and knowing basketball, I think it would obviously slow down the development of
man,
the younger players.
Man, he can't
players.
Do it, for God's sake.
I mean, if anyone can. Well, the thing is, if he came back, he's not someone that's going to sit on the bench. You know what I mean? So it's just like. I think people talk just to talk to kind of get excitement. Like you said, they have 3 hours to fill, like we spoke on before. So from the outside looking in, he looks happy. He looks comfortable. And, obviously you've seen the last of Kobe.
Matt Barnes with us in studio today. Matt, when you look at your overall career, you had developed a certain reputation as a player. What were you trying? You wanted to be the best player you could, but did you realize early on that your game was going to be physical, that you were going to have to play the game a little differently? It's not like you were a slasher scorer, would go off for 45 points a game. Did you realize you were going to have to play this way from the very beginning?
I think that's what allowed me to have a long career, was understanding my game and who I was. I think that's where a lot of guys miss the boat. There's a lot of talented guys that don't end up sticking because they don't understand what's asked of them, what their role is. I knew early on that physicality, playing defense, bringing toughness, and doing dirty work would obviously give me a chance to get on the court. And then through that, I was able to show that, hey, he can shoot a little bit, he can make some plays, he can rebound, he can slash. But I knew what my role was, so I could do more, but knowing your role is the most important key in any sport. And I have no ego, my goal is to win. So I think understanding what was asked of me early on allowed me to play for a long time.
You say understanding. Do you think people misunderstood you when you played?
I definitely think so. I'm someone that grew up a protector. I was taught that you protect your family at all costs, and that's all I was ever doing out there was taking up for my teammates. So if you ever look at the situation, it was never no one really directing one-on-one coming at me. It was guys coming at Blake, guys coming at Chris, guys coming at Kobe, guys coming at whoever, and I'm just a natural protector. So I think, like you said earlier, I'm someone you hate to play against but love to have, because several guys have said I'm their favorite teammate, I'm the ultimate teammate type situation. So just what it was.
Protector Matt Barnes in the house, or enforcer?
I mean, enforcer, like I said, the game is never that serious no more. Like, enforcers were back in the 80s and 90s, where you can clothesline Kurt Rambis and only get a technical foul. Those are enforcers. Now if you breathe on someone or push someone, it's a flagrant foul. So it was just kind of like a protector slash...
But Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond Green is a protector of the Golden State way.
Right. Oh, fake tough guy, yeah. Draymond Green. Fake tough guy.
No, see, that story that came out, it is not all the way true, because I actually talked to him and a couple other people there. So, I mean, he was never actually hit, and he actually tried to make peace through, people that wanted him to squash it. So,
wait, he never got hit? The old reports, the sucker punch, that?
I heard that he swung. I don't know if he made contact, but I'm not sure, whatever the situation may be. But, there's very few guys that actually, really want to get down like that. So it just depends. So I don't really know all the stories with Draymond, but for your example, he's a perfect kind of protector of the franchise, so to speak. I think that's a very talented team, but if you lose him, they're not the Warriors, and they're not winning championships. What Draymond not only brings on the court but off the court, and the way he holds everybody accountable, from the stars to the last player to the coaches to management to owners, Draymond is what pumps that Golden State Warriors franchise.
See, and that's funny. You need one of those guys on your team.
There's no question.
You always have to have one, and people don't understand how important that role is. Mm-hmm. And basically, I mean, that was the role you filled when you played.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even more interesting to me, and we've known you played at UCLA, but for people that don't know you, but have only observed you play, you sit here, you're so soft-spoken, and you're so reflective. Mm-hmm. People wouldn't think that if they don't know you.
Yeah,
they only know what they see.
I think people see, a two-hour snidbit or a highlight or a TMZ clip of me fighting someone or getting kicked out of the game and come with a whole, man, I know this guy. I feel like I've known him his whole life. And that's the problem. So people pass judgment. But when they get a chance to meet me and hear me speak and see other stuff that I'm into and how I'm giving back, they're like, damn, well, you're not the jerk or asshole we thought you were.
I gotta like you now. Oh, all right, fine. All right, I like Matt Barnes. Fine. Okay, good.
The yin yang of Matt Barnes, y'all.
I'm the ultimate competitor. I'm a football player at heart, so I grew up playing physical football, tackle football. That's who I am, and then I was able to transition that into a long NBA career. So I'm just more of a physical person, but off the court, I'm really cool and laid back.
Matt is hosting the 5th annual Athletes versus Cancer Celebrity Football Game Sunday, August 12th, 7:30 at Fairfax High School in partnership with Snoop Dogg. Matt will kick off the Celebrity Weekend with a Thursday Cannabis Summit where physicians, scientists, botanists, and more will discuss the medicinal benefits amidst the backdrop of product displays and entertainment. We have a lot to cover with you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot to cover with you. Stay right there because we'll ask you some questions you may not want us to ask. Is that fair?
That's fine. I'm good.
Okay, we'll do that when we come back. Fred Rogan, Jason Smith, Vic the Brick, and Matt Barnes on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan, Jason Smith, Vic the Brick, and Matt Barnes in studio on AM 570 LA Sports. What happened with Rihanna?
Oh, man.
I told you before the break I was going to ask you some questions.
That was, wow. Like I said, I think that whole situation got blown out of proportion, and everyone got involved, and then people had an opinion on what happened, but... from my standpoint, I'm too grown and too old to be lying about things. You know what I mean? So once everything broke, I'm just like, I'm not going to fight the world. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to prove any points. Like, I know what happened. You know, the people around me know what happened, and I just left it at that.
You got to save that for the book.
You got to save
that for the book.
If I had a book, man, it'd be a monster. So,
yeah. See your people behind me are going, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. The book. Yeah. I like that. The soft-spoken enforcer.
Like I said, I think when people, they're pleasantly surprised and sometimes like, damn, I really want to hate him, but he's cool, so I can't hate him type situations. You know what I mean? Because like I said, you see me for a small amount of time and you develop a whole, opinion of who you think I am. And then if you take the time out, because I've always said, like, I don't care what anyone who doesn't know me thinks. If you're going to take the time to get to know me, that's what I would appreciate and respect. So.
All right, so speaking of questions here, we'll talk about the Clippers for a second. The whole Blake, Chris Paul, that whole drama that unfolded. We had the near fight last year where Chris Paul's trying to lead the guys back through the back door into the Clipper locker room. What was life like there? I mean, it really.
We had one of the most talented teams to never win a championship in L.A., and mm-hmm. I think it was our own faults. We were in our own way. Just too many egos, young acting, if you think we were the team that was still beating up on the Warriors right up until they won the championship, like we knocked them out of the playoffs the year before they came back and won. So we had a very talented team. It was just, we just couldn't get on the same page. And what's crazy was we were all cool off the court. I'm just like, how the hell are we cool off the court, but we can't get it together on the court? You know, so that was our biggest, our mental toughness was what kept us from winning any championships and with the Clippers.
That's interesting because you say we were cool off the court.
Yeah, it was
so
weird.
Why couldn't everybody come together? What were the issues?
Egos. And now looking back on it, it's easy for me to say because I was fortunate enough to go to the Warriors with a whole handful of superstars and there was no egos. You know, everyone left their ego. The only thing that mattered to winning in Golden State was to win and to win a championship. If we had that mentality with the Clippers, we would have definitely won a championship.
You know, the one thing that I see, if I could sum up the era of the Clippers, is that, you know, all the stuff off the court, you say they were cool, but watching you guys play, I just said, they just don't look like they're having fun. You know, I mean, but that's the way they just don't like they're having fun
at times.
Playing
and we weren't excited. It's crazy to say that and think about how exciting of a team we were too. You know what I mean? We coined the whole thing Lob City and we were raining threes and we were beating the crap out of people and it was just... But you could tell, and if you're a real basketball fan, you could tell at times some guys still weren't happy. You know, we'd be up 20 and some guys have their head down or not giving guys fives and doing other stuff.
Why? Because they weren't getting the ball? Or
it just, whatever the situation may be. You know, there was a lot of different situations. And I think now, you know, some of our stars were younger at the time. And then CP is an old school drill sergeant. You know, he's a throwback type point guard. So he's going to get on you, but he wants the best from you. And some guys couldn't handle his approach. So I was kind of always like the buffer, like, okay, well, this is what Chris means. So let me smooth it over. This is what Chris is trying to tell you. I would just tell him in a different way. You know what I mean? So if we could do it all over again and had that Golden State mentality of, you know, leave your ego at home or in the car or just don't bring it with you, we would have definitely won a championship or two.
Was that because of Steve Kerr?
It's Steve Kerr, and I think it's just the culture of the players. Like I said, Draymond is amazing and doesn't let nothing slide. You know, Draymond will yell at anybody, including the owner, including. But it's for the good of the team. You know what I mean? And in turn, you could say something to Draymond. You know what I mean? So it's just an open line of communication because we were all men and all knew all we wanted to do was win, and we didn't have that in Golden, and we didn't have that with the Clippers.
Matt Barnes in the house. Matt, can you teach or inject that selflessness into a squad if it's not already there? Lakers last 5 years, obviously garbage. Here comes LeBron. Probably the most...
Obviously garbage.
Listen, I'm stating the facts. 5 years out of the playoffs, you're a garbage squad. LeBron's here, one of the most selfless superstars ever of our time and space.
Right.
Can he imbue the squad with the selflessness?
I think that what's good about this team is there's a group of young guys, I think, who are eager to learn and very talented. And then LeBron, like you said, is the most selfless superstar in the history of sports, I think, you know, outside of Magic Johnson, that always wants the good of the team. So I think if anyone can teach or learn, I think, this squad, and like I said, with all the so-called misfits or outsiders, everyone keeps trying to label their free agent acquisitions. Like I said, in the right situation, all those guys have thrived. So I think, you know, obviously with Magic at the head of the ship and then LeBron leading these guys, it's the right situation. So, and on top of that, they picked up a lot of pieces they could possibly trade. You know what I mean? If you're thinking, you know, picking up Dame or trying to get Kawhi at some point, like they have a lot of different pieces now that are accessible. So like I said, I love everything that Magic and Rob are doing.
All right. Your best LeBron story. If I said, what's the best LeBron story you have, whatever it is, what's the best LeBron story? I mean, if you tell me you were the guy with the paint at the mural, well, that'd be awesome. But what's your best LeBron?
To be honest with you, I don't really don't have no crazy LeBron stories. Like, we just always competed. That was it. Like, and if you look at me, I'm never one that's just going to start talking trash to someone. Like, I'll respond, but I'm not a trash talker. And LeBron wasn't a trash talker either. So we just battled. You know, it was just straight up two big former football players battling. You know what I mean? So I would never have no crazy Kobe stories or do anything like that, because LeBron just straight up comes to play and expects that from his teammates and doesn't say much and does what he does and leaves.
Has he ever tried talking trash at all?
Not to me. Wow. I don't know if he's tried to talk to anyone, but like from overall looking in, I haven't seen it.
What makes him so good?
His ability to do so much on the court. His ability to get other guys involved, the ability to get other guys better, his ability to take over and score at any time, his ability to make the extra pass when most superstars won't, his ability to he's criticized for that at points. Just his ability to do everything, you know what I mean? And I think the hate comes from being so good. You know, people hate him and hate KD and hate Steph not from anything they've done. It's because of their, you know, how good they are. So it's unfortunate.
And compassion from LeBron. Obviously, all these moves have passed through Bron. And to have Stevenson, who obviously has irritated Bron over the years, and Bron says, I want Stevenson. I want to play with Stevenson.
Right. I mean, you want people that are not afraid of the moment, like you mentioned, who don't fear it and are willing to step up. And that's what I see they got in Lance for sure. Beasley's a scorer. JaVale, with guidance, is, you know, 7 foot and one of the most athletic guys in the game. Rondo, you know, is one of the greatest captains and point guards in the game, from getting guys organized and running. Like I said, I love Kuzma. I love Ingram. You know, Zoe, hopefully he'll be healthy and get out there. And then Josh Hart is showing flashes. So they got a very talented team.
When you look at the pinnacle for the Lakers this season, I think second place in the West and the Western Conference Finals, probably losing to Golden State, is within reach. Is that something you think is within reach for them?
I do. I definitely think that's all. I mean, and that's not to not. Houston is going to be obviously talented again, but I think Houston made some mistakes by letting go of some of their cornerstones on defense. So Trevor Reeves has been a silent assassin for them on both ends for a long time.
Bringing in Melo. Melo's going to stop the ball.
Like I said, and another thing about Melo, too, if you ever watch Melo, I love Melo. If you ever watch Melo on the Olympic team, when he trusts his teammates and falls in line, he's an amazing player. You know what I mean? He's just always been on bad teams. You know what I mean? And then putting him in a situation last year at OKC is just tough. You know, with him and Wes and Paul, all similar-minded, you know what I mean? There was too many Chiefs and not enough Indians. You know what I mean? So I think in this situation, with Chris and James running the show, I think Melo's going to fall in and find his place. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, talk about the event coming up, Matt, and what you're doing.
This is our fifth annual Athletes First Cancer Celebrity Weekend. We added a new component this year, which is Smoke for a Cure, that Snoop and I are hosting at his compound Thursday, August 9th. And it's more just, we want to let people know why we consume cannabis. You know, I mean, I think there's such a stigma. Oh my God, they're high. They're not productive citizens. They're terrible people. But if you sit back and listen to why athletes use it and feel like we need it, and why musicians with their schedule use it, I think you'll have a better understanding. So I've teamed up with UCLA for the first ever athlete-funded cannabis research program. So UCLA is teaming up with me for my event and really just educating people. It's going to be, you know, probably about 15 to 20 exclusive vendors, influencers, and then people that are interested in the space, trying to learn more about it and understanding and vibing and co-branding with everyone there. So we're doing that Thursday night. Friday is a Bowl for a Cure Lucky Strike, downtown LA. Just another cool situation to get some sponsors out and fans out and giving people a chance to get closer to some of their favorite athletes and celebrities. And then Saturday's a pool party, PG, definitely not PG-13. I'm kidding.
Oh, so Paul George is not invited. All right, Paul George not invited.
So, no, it'll be a you know, fun, you know, just kind of the probably the kickback, most relaxed part of the weekend where we just, you know, hang out and have a good time. And then we culminate the game on Sunday, which has always been good. We always get, you know, a handful of a wide variety of musicians, entertainers, and athletes. So it's going to be fun.
Is Snoop going to play or is he going to coach?
No, Snoop plays. And, you know, you've seen Snoop getting in shape. Like he's been lifting weights and on Instagram with the shirt off and everything now. So he's redefined himself, so Snoop's ready to play.
All right, because I expect just him to be, you know, be the coach, call the plays, and everything. Okay,
no, he's out there playing.
Wow!
And drop some verse on Snoop's hoop play. Everyone knows he's football oriented. He's developed some beautiful. He can play.
Yeah, he can play smooth. Yeah.
And he plays D. He plays a lot of D.
He's an athlete. You know what I mean? He's a super athlete and an amazing entertainer, musician. You know, but he's also someone that is a cannabis consumer, and I think he. Sometimes he's stereotyped, so I'm even talking to him now, you know that we're friends, at coming out and explaining why, you know, educate people on why you feel like you need this and why you do this, and I think people will be more, you know, perceptive of listening to you.
I was rubbing some cannabis in my back early today before I left the dojo. Rubbing some more because I had some back pain,
and I
dropped in some oil, you know, some cannabis oil, and I feel a lot better. I'm giddy.
It's an amazing plant. Like I said, if you get a chance to raise the stigma on it and have people educate themselves on it, they'll understand.
Thanks for hanging out.
Man,
you got to run. We really appreciate you hanging out today. Thanks for coming in and spending some time in the studio with us.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you for having me.
All right. And Dodger fans, visit Outback Steakhouse today and mention the Dodgers hit 3 homers yesterday along with AM570 LA Sports. You'll receive a free Bloomin' Onion only at Outback Steakhouse locations in Southern California. Limit 1 per table.